If you'll stand with me, we're going to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 5, 2 Samuel, chapter number 5. We're going to begin reading with verse number 1, then I'm going to move quickly through several more verses. 2 Samuel chapter number 5, then came all the tribes of Israel to David and to Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. Everyone say, they. And the Bible says in verse number 6, And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. Verse number 10, And David went on. Everyone say, went on. And David went on and grew great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons. And they built David an house. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom. For what reason? For his people, Israel's sake. And David took him more concubines and wives. The Bible says there were 11 sons mentioned here, and we don't know how many daughters. There were 6 sons born to him in Hebron, but 11 sons and multiple daughters born in Jerusalem. Basically, twice as many children. Verse number 17 is our key verse for today. But when the Philistines heard that they, everyone say they, had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. Verse 19, And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said, Go up, for I will doubtless. Everyone say, without doubt. I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And the Bible says, And David smote them there and said, The Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. From verse number 20, I want to preach to you, the Lord breaks forth. Would you pray with me right now? Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that the living word will preach the written word. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice today will feel the anointing of God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, for deliverance, for healing, and for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in this service. We are praying that there will be a significant breakthrough in the lives of the families of this church, of every person that's here, every guest and every core member. We are praying in the name of Jesus that your perfect will would be done. I take authority over every opposing spirit in Jesus' name, that your perfect will may be done. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Turn around to at least 3 people and say, I bless you with a breakthrough. And then you may be seated. If you believe God wants to give us breakthroughs in this sanctuary today, would you clap your hands again to the Lord and just give him praise? Hallelujah. David was the man after God's own heart, anointed in the shadow of Saul. And the anointing that was on Saul was temporary. It was an anointing that was made from a vial, which is man-made, signifying that it was just God appeasing people. But it wasn't really the ultimate plan of God. David was God's ultimate plan for Israel. He tied into a prophetic word that was given from the patriarch just before he passed. When Jacob looked at his 12 sons and he pointed to Judah and said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, neither a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. Shiloh there was another way of talking about the Messiah, or when Christ would come. So David's family was blessed. The tribe of Judah was blessed that it would be through their family that the kings would come. And so Benjamin is where Saul came from. It was God's answer to a rebellious people that said, give us a king so we can be like everybody else. But God did not want to give them a king to be like everybody else. He wanted to give them a king after his own heart so they could be like nobody else. And when God does what he wants to do in our lives, he will cause us to be distinguished in the world. He will cause us to be blessed with such an anointing and such a demonstration of the Spirit that people will know that what we are a part of, that what happens when we come here is not generated by man. It is not something that has its origins in the world, but it begins in the very presence of God. It comes down from heaven. When we read the book of Acts, we see that the original church that was started in the first century, right after Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his Spirit down. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from where? It was a sound that came from heaven, signifying that the church in the book of Acts began in heaven. You and I are a part of that same church. We are the continuation of that church. What happens in this place begins in heaven and is poured out upon us in the earth. This is the will of God for us. And so when we look at the life of David, David represents to the church age. He is a type and shadow of the dispensation of grace, of how God wants it to be. Saul, we would just talk about the religious tradition that grew out of a system of laws and rules that was brought by Moses. And so it is a transition from the old to the new. And we come into David's life here. We see that there is a big difference in how this process happened. It first began with David being anointed. And after he was anointed for 15 years, then the people began to recognize what God had anointed. And they anointed what God had anointed. And so when you put God's will and the people's agreement together, when you say God's yes and our amen, it causes the promises of God to no longer be something that is potential, but it becomes provision. There are a lot of people here today that have promise that is hovering over them. There's a lot of you here today that there's specific words of prophecy that have been in your life. There's a lot of you that had promises that have been given to you. Many of you have claimed promises from the very word of God and said, I believe this is going to happen. Some of you have been in prayer and you felt things and sensed things and said, I'm going to do more than what I'm doing right now. I'm going to be better. My life is going to be better. Is there anybody here today that can bear witness to what I'm preaching and say, I've got a promise in my life? How many of you can say, I know that there are great things in store for me and for my family? How many of you can say, I've experienced the anointing of God in my life before? How many have ever been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Just like they got it in the book of Acts. If you have the Holy Ghost experience in your life, there is something that comes inside of you that changes everything on the outside. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than and he that is in the world. If you have not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my friends, let me tell you, you can receive that gift today. The Bible says the Holy Ghost is a promise. The promise is unto you and unto your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you can feel the drawing of God in your life, you can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand a principle from the book of 2 Corinthians. Bishop read it this morning. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. I told you about this last week, that the promises of God are yes. They're yes. God does not play favorites. It's yes. You want to know, can I be healed? Yes. Can I be delivered? Yes. Can my family change and have a breakthrough? Yes. Can you bring people back together and restore hearts and mend lives and bring them out of their prisons of bondage? Yes. Can you bring my son or my daughter out of addiction? Yes. Can you give me a new job? Can I break out of my poverty cycle? Yes. Can I be blessed to walk into a new dimension of effectiveness? Yes. Do I have a ministry? Do I have a calling? Yes. Is there something more for me? Yes. There is something more for me. That is the promise of God. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. There are over 30,000 promises that are written in this book, and God is not a man that he would lie. If he said he was going to do it, he's going to do it. What makes that promise become provision is when you and I join our faith or mix our faith with his word. And so the response of faith is what determines what we receive from God. He says yes, and we say amen. And that's the amen factor. This is exactly what was happening in Israel, is that God said yes to their future by giving them David, a man after his own heart, not anointed with a vial, but anointed with a horn. It was an ancient anointing that had been sealed up by Moses in the mountain when God gave him directions about the kings. The rabbis tell us that sacred horn of oil had been passed from the days of Moses through the generations, through the judges, all the way to Samuel, until Samuel finally has permission when he's going to anoint the destined man to lead them into their future and to unlock all of their promises. He unlocks an ancient anointing upon David's life. That anointing in it had all of the potential. It had all of the resources. It had all the wisdom, all the leadership. It had all the direction. It had everything that they would need in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. But it was of none effect until the people anointed what God had anointed. So what I'm telling you today is this: when I preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, as soon as I begin to declare to you what the Word of God says, in the atmosphere around you, the resources suddenly become alive. The Spirit of God becomes alive in the room, and there are healing particles that begin to hover all around your body. If you need healing in your body, when I begin to tell you by his stripes we are healed, the anointing of God will touch that scripture, and a healing stream will suddenly begin to flow through this atmosphere. You'll begin to sense that the presence of God is here. But if you don't say amen, that healing's going to somebody else. Somebody else is going to get their pain taken out of their body. Someone else is going to have their disease gone. But the moment you can sense that anointing, the moment the word of God is preached, something inside of you says, this is my day to get healed. This is my moment to get healed. And you say, amen. And you reach up, and suddenly the power of God courses through you and you get your healing. When I begin to preach about deliverance, what happens is there is an anointing that begins to flow into this atmosphere. There's something that begins to fill the building, and all the demons that have been holding you and all the chains that have been on your wrists and been on your feet, you know what happens? They begin to shake and they begin to rattle, because the word of God can break any chain. It can send any devil running. And as we begin to preach the word of God, the anointing touches that word, and deliverance suddenly becomes available to you. The atmosphere around you becomes alive, and you will feel something begin to change. All it takes is one little flicker of hope in you that says, I can have deliverance. I don't want these chains anymore. I want to be free. And suddenly the chains will fall off. The anointing of God will destroy that yoke that's been on you. When you feel the anointing, you have to add your anointing to God's anointing. You have to add your amen to God's yes. God says, I'm able to save to the uttermost. And I don't care what sin you've done. I don't care how deep you've been in sin. I don't care what kind of things that you've done in your life. I don't care what kind of scars that you're bearing. I don't care what kind of of loss that you've had as a result of maybe poor choices that you've made. I don't care how long it's been in your family, how many generations struggle with the same things. I'm going to tell you, when the blood of Jesus can touches your life, when the blood of Jesus courses over you, I'm going to tell you, there is not one sin that hell can bring back from out from underneath the blood of Jesus. When you go down in water in the name of Jesus, you bury your old life once and for all, and he can't get it out from underneath the powerful name of Jesus. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have power over every stronghold, over every demonic force, every power of sin that is in this world, because it's the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead that he puts inside of you as one of his own. And so when I preach to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, all it takes is a hungry heart. All it takes is somebody here today that says, I need that forgiveness. I need a fresh start. I'm ready for God to change my life. I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then suddenly it's not just a promise given to everyone. It's a promise that's given to you. Instead of it just being blood that's shed for the whole world, it's blood that was shed just for you. Instead of it being the name that is given above every name, where all the families of the earth and all the families in heaven are named the wonderful name of Jesus, now it becomes your family name. I can claim the name of Jesus for myself. And that's when the promise becomes the provision. David came and appropriated that promise when they embraced him. They said, you're bone of our bone and you're flesh of our flesh. What they did is they owned it. They knew about the promise. The Bible says, when Saul was king over us, God said, you were going to be our captain. You were going to lead us. And you did. You brought us in. You brought us out. You did exactly what God said, but we weren't quite ready to embrace you. And so only one tribe received of that power and that anointing that was on David's life. But when all those tribes came together after 7 years and 6 months of being in Hebron, something happened in Israel. It unlocked their fullest potential. See, this is what's happening at this church right now. This is what's happening with us at this juncture. There are things that God has anointed us with. There are promises that have been over our heads for a long time. But we have needed to come to a point where we were ready to come together. Where we were ready to be in agreement. Where we were ready to stand and say arm in arm. There's no favorites. There's no special groups. There's no special interests. There's no power bases that are vying to have more control than other people in the church. We've just come through something. We understand what we've been through. And you know what we know? We know that if Judah can have David, then all 12 tribes can have David. In other words, if there's one group of the church that's thrived, then everybody can thrive. If you see one person get a miracle, then anybody can get a miracle. If one person gets a breakthrough, then anybody can get a breakthrough. If one person gets the Holy Ghost, anybody can get the Holy Ghost. If somebody breaks through their dimension, they break through that wall that they've been in, you know what? Hey, I just saw somebody get it, and if they can get it, I can get it too. That's what they were saying. You're bone of our bone and you're flesh of our flesh. I'm tired of being on the outside of the promise. I want in. Is there anybody here today that's tired of watching somebody else get blessed? Tired of watching somebody else get a miracle? Tired of watching somebody else get the job? Somebody else get the promotion? Somebody else get anointed? Somebody else move to the next dimension? Is there anybody here today that says, God, I want in? I want my promise. I want my miracle. I want my destiny. I want my breakthrough. I want my deliverance. I want my healing. I want to go to the next level. I'm tired of watching somebody else get it. I've been on the outside of it long enough. I want in. Touch somebody, say, I want in. So those elders came to David and said, we want in. And he said, you're in. And the Bible says again, they anointed David king. They did. He'd already been anointed by God, by Samuel, a long time ago. Why is this word in there? Because it's the significance of the people embracing what God had already said was his will. This is the difference in your life. Why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God's will in heaven has already been proclaimed. It's already been declared. That's the promise. But we have to pray in agreement because God will not violate our will. God will not override us. He could, but he won't. In order for God to do a miracle in your life, you've got to let him. In order for there to be a change in your life, you've got to let him bring a change into your life. You've got to understand it, and then you've got to appropriate it. My job is to help you understand it today. It's your job to then embrace it and accept it and say, that's mine. Now, when we come together, as we have come together as a church, amazing things start happening. And you can see the transition now that's taking place in the kingdom of Israel. That when they all became united together under David and under this special promise that was now being released over their heads, the anointing coming up out of David, things in him that they had never seen before, dimensions that they didn't know were possible, suddenly became available. And this is where we are right now. There is potential in us that we didn't know we even had. There's some of you that are going to find places in God that you didn't even know existed. We're going to discover places of grace that God is going to bestow upon us that we didn't even know existed in the kingdom of God. But they've all been here all along. It's been up inside of you. Dimensions of callings and gifts and ministry, power and passion, desire to do more, breakthroughs, worshiping God in places you've never known that you could even go in his presence. Somebody stop just for a minute. Lift your hands and thank him that more is coming. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When this anointing starts flowing this way with nothing hindering it, they change their posture. They go from Hebron to Jerusalem. This is where the story takes on a whole different feeling. Now it's not just the fact that we've come together. It's now, what are we going to do with it? It's not just we have the anointing. It's what's the anointing's purpose? It's not just, well, God gave us a promise. Isn't this wonderful? It's, okay, God, you gave us this promise for what? I want you to take back everything their enemy has taken from you. Jerusalem belonged to Israel, but the Jebusites were still living there from the days of Joshua. Now, when I began to study the rabbis, I went back into the old texts, and I began to read the rabbinical commentaries on what was going on at this time. Apparently, there were relatives of Abimelech. Some say it was Abimelech. Some say there were people that were from the Philistines that lived in Jerusalem. They were just called the Jebusites, but the family of Jebus is what went in there. It was their family that determined its name. And so they were living in this place that God had given to them. And somewhere way back in the days of Abraham, there were covenants that were made between peoples to create peace. And they had some kind of a land for peace kind of deal that was going on. And so this is the reason why they had just allowed it to remain as it was. But they had broken the terms of their covenant. They had broken their terms by being aggressive and by being violent with the people of God and throwing it in their face that they were there in a place that really, really belonged to them in the first place. And sometimes we make deals with the devil at certain times in our life. We say, well, if you won't do this, then I won't do that. And I only go this far and I only commit this much. And you know what? I'm just tired of the fight. So I'm just going to stop right here. And you allow things into your life that really should have never been there. You allow issues in your life that God never really wanted to be there. And what it does is it erodes your spiritual identity. It erodes your confidence. It destroys your will to fight. It breaks down your faith. And it puts you in a place where you just accept things as they are and you don't really try to attain anymore. But when David came on the scene, he said, wait a minute. This was a negotiation that should have never happened. This was was a covenant that should have never been made. We should have never allowed ourselves to cancel out God's promise by listening to what our enemy has told us. And you know what? I pronounce that covenant null and void. We are going to take the city back. And what I'm telling you today is whatever deals you've made, whatever negotiations that you've made, we know the true identity of our adversary. And we know he's not really keeping the bargain. He's just making you think he's keeping the bargain. But every day he's eroding away of what God has given to you. Every day he's trying to keep you from having what everything that God has for your life. And so what I'm telling you today, I don't know what kind of things that you've said. I don't know what kind of words that you've said. I don't know how you've said to yourself, well, I guess it's just going to be this way. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way. Today, we can come together in the Spirit of God and we can pronounce every covenant. We can pronounce every commitment. We can pronounce every lie, every trap, every device of Satan. We can say it's void. You know what really applies to me? The blood of Jesus. That's my covenant. The name of Jesus. That's my covenant. The Holy Ghost. That's my covenant. I'm a child of God and I'm going to have everything that this book says that I can have. And anybody that stands in the way of that is my enemy and I will not negotiate with you. Hallelujah. And so we're changing our posture. I'm not just talking about sitting up straight. We're changing our posture. We're moving from defense mode. And we're moving into offense. Instead of just trying to defend what territory we have, we're going to take what belongs to us. Instead of just saying, well, we're a church that survived. We're a people that endured. Well, we're still here. That was Hebron. Hebron was a city of refuge. It was a safe place. This church has become a safe place. The Pentecostals of Pasadena, through its entire history, has been a place where restoration and love has been preached. Where you got a hug every service, whether you wanted it or not. Restoration. Safe place. You come here, and they even call this building the fortress. I mean, it's the fortress. Place to run to. Safe place to run to. And that's awesome. That's wonderful. That's something to be thankful for. And if you can be proud and still go to heaven, you can be proud of that. Sanctified proud is what we call it. But I don't believe that God just called us to just be a safe place. I don't believe that God just called us here just to say, well, we survived another decade. We survived another generation. We made it. You know, we didn't think we would survive. No, I don't believe that God has that in mind. I believe that that point in the history of Israel was to stabilize them and to establish them and to prepare them so that they would be ready to embrace their future. And this is what God has done. He's brought you through all these things to put you right here to embrace the full measure of what God wants for us. And that's exactly what David did. He said, okay, guys, we've got Hebron. We've got all the tribes now. How about we go take Jerusalem? How about we go take the city? And what I'm telling you is we're stabilized. We've got what we need here to know we can survive. We can weather the storm. And you can put that in whatever context you want, spiritually or physically. We know how to weather the storm. But I'm going to tell you something. Now that we've come out of it, we're going to take this anointing that God has put in our lives and we're going to take the city. Hallelujah. The Bible says that they took the blind and the lame. Now, this is the part that I want to tell you that I didn't get to tell you last week. When God showed me the prince of this area, he said the prince of Pasadena is depression. And then he showed me, he said, I'm going to tear the roof off of this place and the light is going to come out and you are going to break the prince of this area. Your church is going to be the dominant influence of this region. And he said, but I want you to tell them. He said, my promises have already been released. He said, they already have, talking about you, they already have my favor. But they keep praying for it. He said, they already have my blessing. But they keep asking for it. He said, I already have goodwill toward you right now. He said, it's already hovering over you. He said, but it is the mentality of the region. It is the demonic prince of this area that has convinced people that they are unworthy to receive it. That they are flawed, that they are weak, that there is something wrong with them. And this is what he said, this is what we have to break, is this mentality that we cannot have it, that it doesn't belong to us, that we cannot embrace it. The Bible says that this is what the inhabitants of Jebus said to David. The blind and the lame could kick you out. That's how weak you are. You're so weak that I could send a couple blind guys out there with a sword and that'd be enough to stop you. And you know what they were saying? David can't come in here. Lots of other people have tried and they couldn't do it. So what makes you think that you can do it? And I'm going to tell you what makes me think I can and why I know that we will is because we are not fighting based upon our talent. We're not doing this based upon our expertise. It's not on our degrees. It's not on how much money we have. We're not relying upon what man can do. We are walking in the anointing of God and we are going to operate by what God says we can do. I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. Touch somebody and say, we're going to do it anyway. The enemy has tried to destroy the way you think about yourself. But that's where the amen factor comes in. That's where you've got to turn this inside of yourself and say, I believe God. I believe that this is our moment. I believe that this is our day. And this is what David was saying. Wait a minute. You've never seen a church like this before. You've never seen people like this before. We've never been at this place before. You may have seen people that called themselves Israelites, but you've never seen this Israel. You may have seen kings that were anointed, but you've never seen this anointed, this anointing. And what I'm telling you is God has pushed us to the forefront right now to push right up against this spirit and say, nevertheless, we're going to take the city anyway. Nevertheless, we're going to tear down this stronghold. Nevertheless, it's going to happen because this church has never been this united. We have never come together like this. There's never been this kind of hope. There's never been this kind of energy. There's never been this kind of anointing. There's never been this kind of potential. I've never felt this way. I've never been where we are right now. And that tells me that God is about to do something he's never done before. Clap your hands and say yes. This is where we had to stop. I laid the foundation. Let me take the next few steps with you. I know what time it is. And I know the Texans are playing, so forget about it. When you break a stronghold, when you break a prince, you change the identity of a city. The Bible says, nevertheless, David took the stronghold. The same is the city of David. Wait a minute. It's not the city of Jebus anymore. It's now the city of David. Later took on the name Jerusalem, going back to its original foundations, which was called Salem, city of peace. But David's identity got wrapped around what was going on. And what this is that God is going to cause the city to take on our identity rather than the church to take on the city's identity. Instead of us being affected by the depression is going to be affected by us. We will be the direct opposite of what is going on around us in the city. People here are not going to keep complaining about the economy. Why? Because we operate on kingdom economy. If I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto me. I don't function on world economy. I function on kingdom economy. So I'm not going to let the depression out there affect what God is doing in here. This is God's church. He's going to help us. We're going to go forward. And he knows how to get the provisions to us that we need when we need them.
We are not going to emotionally and mentally walk around in depression, because the Bible says that He is going to trade with us. He's going to give us beauty for ashes. He's going to give us the Spirit. He's going to give us the oil of joy for all of our sadness. And He's going to give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We are going to be known as a place where there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know what you need to do? Touch somebody. Say, wake up. It's morning. It's a brand new day, and you don't have to be depressed anymore. It's a brand new day. God can give you a bright tomorrow. God can give you a bright future. God can change the way you feel about yourself. Ultimately, depression is anger turned inward. That's what depression is. Anger turned inward. You don't want to blame anybody else, so instead, you blame yourself. And this is where the accusations of hell constantly bombard you. The blind and the lame could push you out. You're weak. You're flawed. There's something wrong with you. Man, if I would just been better, I could have done this. If I was just, I just don't know what's wrong. What's what? I'm depressed. Why are you depressed? Well, I'm not as good as that one. I don't have what they have. We can't do what they do. I don't have their kind of money. I don't have that kind of status. I don't have that kind of car. I don't live in that kind of house. I can't sing like they sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. There's something wrong with flawed. Every person you see, there's an accusation that's ringing in your head. That's what the spirit of this area is trying to put into your mentality. It's trying to beat you down. But you know what God had already said? The promises are already here. He's already favored us. He's already said, I love you. He's already said, I'm with you. He's already given us all of these things. His will is already for us. He already said, all the promises of God are yes. And right now, what we are doing is changing our corporate identity. We are changing the way we see ourselves. We are no longer the people that couldn't conquer Jerusalem. We are now the people that are here to take over. We are not taking sides. We didn't come here to take sides. We came to take over. Touch somebody and say, I'm taking over. Touch somebody else, say, we're taking over. It is our destiny to take over. It is your destiny to conquer. It is your destiny to live in the overflow. It is your destiny to walk in abundance. It is the will of God for you to live triumphantly with power and victory and passion in your life. It is the will of God to tear down these strongholds and show people there's a better way to live. Come on and clap your hands to the Lord and give Him praise right now. He went on. Everybody say, He went on. What are we going to do? We're going to go on. We're not going to lean left. We're not going to lean right. We're going to lean forward. That's the way we're going to go. We're going to go forward. We're going to keep on growing, and we're going to get greater as we grow. The Bible says that God was with him. Touch somebody and say, God is with you. And then the Bible says the king of Tyre came and sent messengers. Now watch this. When the momentum starts flowing and the oil of gladness is upon us and the anointing of the people is on the anointing of the preacher and the promises of God are becoming provision, we begin to see that God doesn't just tie us into the resources that we have. He begins to tie us into the resources that other people have. It's not just resources that are in the church. It's resources outside of the church. People started recognizing what was going on with David. And here comes another king named Hiram. And he says, you know what? What's going on with you, David, is remarkable. I want to be a part of that. He says, I'm going to send you some messengers. I'm going to send you some cedar trees. I'm going to send you carpenters. I'm going to send you resources so that you can build a house. And what God is saying to us is that if we keep doing His will, He will send people to help us to fulfill His will. If we will keep going forward, if we will keep going on, if we will stay in this vibrant mentality of unity and abundance and overflow and victory, God will cause people to get on board with this vision, and even people outside of this church will begin to tie into what's going on inside this church, and God will send us people, He will send us finances, He will send us skilled laborers, He will send us critical minds, He will send us people with wisdom, He will send us people with influence. He will give us favor, and God will build us a house. Now, what's the house about? The house is about living in the place of victory. He won the victory in Jerusalem, and God said, now I want you to live in it. What God is saying to us is, I'm not just changing your address for a day. I want you to live in this new spiritual location. I want this to become who you are from this time forward. You are now going to live in the stronghold that your enemy used to possess. It's not going to be a one-time experience where you come on a Sunday morning and feel the Holy Ghost. You know what it's going to be? God is saying to you, I want you to live in the power of the Holy Ghost tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and next week and next month and next year. I want you to keep the victory that's in your life. I want you to keep the blessing that is in your life. I want you to keep your healing. I want you to keep your breakthrough. I want you to keep your next step that God just took you on. I want you to live in the reality of the promise. Clap your hands and say, I'm going to live in it. And after they built the house, it was perpetual revival. And this is what I'm speaking as a vision to this church, is that we are not going to have a bad service. We're not going to have a bad month. We're not going to have a bad year. I'm speaking perpetual revival. Why can't we have a church that's just like it was in the book of Acts? That God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Every day was a good day in the book of Acts. Persecution or no persecution. Circumstances or no circumstances. They were the people of God. And because they were the people of God, they had the fruit upon their branches that was heavy laden with abundance. Because God said this is a time of harvest. And what I'm telling you is we are in the last of the last days. And we can't afford for us to have a ho-hum service or a ho-hum year. I believe that God is blessing us, that we're going to live in perpetual revival. We're going to live in perpetual growth, in perpetual breakthrough. Does anybody agree with me? Say yes, yes, yes. And then the Bible says they doubled their family. They went from addition to multiplication. David's family doubled in Jerusalem. I'm speaking a spirit of multiplication again into this church. I'm speaking we're going to double. I loved your Christmas party. We had 40. Now we're going to have 80. I said, thank you, God. I got a confirmation even in the service. He didn't even know it, but we're going to double. We're doubling our capacity. But when the electrician came, says, we're going to have to split it and double out your power boxes. I said, thank you, God. You're multiplying everything in our church. I believe that this is a season of multiplication, a multiplied harvest. We had people come and tell us they wanted to become new members of our church, and we didn't even know who they were. We had never even met them yet, and they wanted to be members. Normally, we know who the people are that want to be new members. But there are so many people that are coming here that are talking about being new members and want to be a part of this church, that we're having to work extra hard to find out who you are, because we love you and we want you to be assimilated and become a part of this church. But folks, this is a symptom. This is just the beginning of what's going to happen here. This is just the start of where we are right now. Get ready. Touch somebody, say, get ready to double. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise right now. Now watch this. David had lived with the Philistines. They gave him Ziklag. It wasn't that many years ago, less than a decade. Now the Bible says all the Philistines come to seek David. Why? Because they anointed David. They weren't afraid of him when he was anointed by himself. But now they're terrified when he's anointed with the people. I'm going to tell you something. If I'm anointed by myself, devil's not too afraid of me. If I'm anointed all by myself, and y'all are just looking at me smiling, look at that guy up there sweating. He's not too worried. But when the people are getting anointed with the pastor, hell starts trembling. And what's happening in this environment, what's happening in our church, what we felt last week in the middle of the lights going on and going off, we can sense something dynamic. We can feel hell resisting and standing in the way. Why? Why? Because he's trembling at the thought that nothing can stop us. If two or three shall agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. Say, it shall be done. Folks, we figured it out. You know how many years churches wait to get to this point, and some of them never get here, and we're here right now. We're here in a place where I love you. I don't feel anything bad against any, not one person in this church. I have such a great love in my heart for all of you. I have a feeling, a sense of people just being on board with what God is doing and loving us, and we feel that, and it means so much. I can't even tell you what it means to Kimberly and I, the way that you have embraced us and loved us. But even beyond that, folks, it's beyond even the personality or the people part of it. There's a spiritual dynamic that comes in the middle of that, is that I'm embracing what you are as the church. I'm embracing who you are as God's called family. What I'm embracing is all the years of prayer and fasting that has built a foundation. What I'm embracing is people that have grown up with the word of God in their hearts and are now ready to come to a place of doing something great for God. And what you're seeing with me, what you're connecting to, is way beyond my personality, because I don't have enough personality. I don't have enough talent. I'm not smart enough to do this by myself. But if you can feel the anointing of God, if you can sense the calling of God that has brought us to this point, then I'm going to tell you something. It makes all of our potential be realized. It takes the ceiling. What God was saying is ripping the roof off. It takes the ceiling off of what we can do together. And that's why hell is afraid of what is going on right now. Did I make it plain? Hallelujah. And this is what David said. Okay, God, when I was at Ziklag, I asked you, should I go after him and pursue? And God said, pursue. He said, but now this is a different kind of thing. This is not us playing defense and trying to recover what we lost. This is us playing offense. I see my enemy out there, and he's building a resistance to us. What should we do about it, God? Should we leave it alone, or should we go up and should we fight with them? And if we fight, I want to know if we're going to win. And you know what God said? Same answer I gave you at Ziklag is the same answer I'm giving you now. In other words, if God is with you to take back everything the devil stole from you, then God's going to be with you when you go to wipe out your enemy that tried to steal it in the first place. I wish I had a witness in this house. God is marshaling an army. He's raising up an army of people that said, I've had enough. I got a word. I'm going after my adversary, and I'm going to bring him down. The Bible says, go up, for I will doubtless deliver them into your hand. Touch somebody. Say, the victory is already ours. Agree with somebody right now, right where you are. Agree with somebody right now and say, the victory is already ours. Hallelujah. Shatalalabo shakayama sataya. I just heard the voice of the Lord. He said, the reason why you don't feel the resistance this week like you did last week is because last week you already beat them. He says, you already won. Victory's already yours. We've already got it. It's already here. Hallelujah. It's already done. It's already here right now. Let me finish this. You've been wonderful and patient. God bless you. Let me finish this now. The Bible says David tried to describe. He tried to describe what happened when he went with the word. Doubtless, I will doubtless put him in your hand. Doubtless, without doubt. Everyone say, without doubt. Without any doubt. I have no doubt about this. I have complete and total confidence. He said, they smote them there. And then David said, when it was all done, the Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me. He said, it was like I went out there and pulled out my sword, and God said, I got this. And the guy just fell down. Oh, that was easy. He said, it was like God got there first. The Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me.
Before I got there, there was already a current that was pushing them back. There was already a force that was just carrying us. We were just running into the battle and just immediately coming in and just lopping off heads and screaming and killing them and knocking them down. I mean, this is a violent picture. But what he was saying is, I'm doing the slow-mo version right now, but there was an energy, a force, a power. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever had it when it's the other direction, you know the difference. If you've ever been up against a wall and didn't seem like you could pray at all, if you've ever been a place where you were having a hard time even saying three words together that made any sense, oh, Lord, God, just help us, Lord, today. I just feel, I don't know, something's wrong, God. If you've ever been up against a brass ceiling or up against a big wall, you know the difference when there's a current that's just carrying you. And before you even get into prayer, you're already thanking God. We're going to, whoa, my Lord, I'm just... Thank you, Jesus. The demons are falling. The chains are being broken. The walls are coming down. That's what David said. He said, the only way I can describe it is it's like a wall that's breaking. It's like a breach of waters. What he is saying is like somebody built up a big dam to stop the flow. And the water has been pushing against that wall and pushing against that wall and pushing against that wall. And all of a sudden, one of the bricks started to loosen. And there was a little fountain. Starts coming out. You know, the little Dutch boy, you know, puts his finger in the wall, trying to hold it back. You better leave pretty soon, because I don't know how long I can hold my finger here. I don't know how long we can hold it back. And all of a sudden, the wall just starts to crumble, and a hole starts being pushed. And then here comes, and a deluge of water comes bounding down the mountain, flooding through the valley. Everything that is dry gets just drenched all in a moment. And what David is saying is that God had been saving up this anointing from the very first day that he was anointed by Samuel. God had been saving up the flow. From the very first day that God said, this is my will, he had been saving up the flow. From the very first day that it all started, now that he's got the people anointing him with the anointing of God, he was saying, now when we got to the battle, the wall just fell down and the water just poured. That God had been saving it up. And all at once, God just broke forth. And what I'm telling you, Bishop, is that all of these years, from the very inception of this church, from the very first time that God put it in your heart to come here, all of the promises and all of the vision and all of the years of saying, you know what God's been doing? He's been building it up. He's been building it up. There's been a river that's been building, a mounting pressure that's been building. And Satan has done everything he could to build a wall to stop it. He's done everything he could to try to stand in the way of it. He knew it was there. He knew it was in existence right there. And he said, I got to do whatever I can to stop it. But I'm telling you something. He can only hold it back so long until finally we walk in that battle with a word from God that says, I'm coming after you. I'm taking you out. You are not going to have any power anymore. And there's a breaking forth. What I'm telling you right now, would you stand with me, is that God is getting ready to unload a mighty river in the Spirit upon this place. God's about to break forth in your life. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for something to happen that God's been saving up for you for a long time? You say, but I've been praying for years. I know. That river's been building up ever since you started. I've been waiting for years, for decades. Yeah, the river's been building up for decades. Been prepared for all this time. But it's been a dry land. It's been a place where just a big wall. The wall is starting to heave right now. There's a crumbling of that wall right now. Right where you're standing, I want you to close your eyes. We're going to pray. Father, everything that you have reserved for these wonderful people here today, everything that you have destined for them, everything that you have ordained for them, God, every bit of joy, every bit of grace, every bit of blessing, every bit of healing, every breakthrough, that you have for them. Let it begin now. In Jesus' name. Every enemy that's tried to stop it up, let them be defeated right now. Every mentality, every accusation, every thought, every fear, I take authority over it right now. In Jesus' name. Every person that needs healing, every person that needs deliverance, every person that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God, I thank you that the river is flowing now with healing. It's flowing now with deliverance, and it's flowing now with Holy Ghost. Every person that needs a breakthrough in their mind, in their thinking, every person that needs help in their emotions, God, right now, I thank you. I thank you. The walls are coming down. The river is flowing now. In Jesus' name. All right. All you got to do, step out right now. You want healing? You want deliverance? You want help? Step out. You want the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Step out. You want a breakthrough in your life? Step out right now. Come on. Come and stand. You need help? Something deep down in your spirit? Come on. Step out. It's your moment. It's your time. You need forgiveness? Need to get out of your rut. You need joy again. You're tired of bearing the depression, living under the heaviness. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. God got there before you did. He knows what you're dealing with. He got there ahead of you. Ahead of your issue. He's already there working it out right now. He's already there working it out right now. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith over you. By the authority of the Word of God and the power that's in the name of Jesus, I release healing virtue right now. Be healed in your body. Be healed in your emotions. Be healed in your mind.
Healing rain is falling.
Healas.
I'm not afraid.